On NFL, your daily NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Dynasty Football Podcast, everybody. I am Kate Majuk. You can follow me on Twitter at FFBallBlast. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Marcus Mosier. You can follow him on Twitter at Marcus_Mosier. Give the show a follow. Leave those five-star reviews wherever you listen to the podcast. And be sure to check us out on YouTube, where we're streaming live right now. And you can come and ask us some fun questions and all that jazz. Marcus, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Kate. We got to watch some Thursday night football last night in a weird...
Happy Friday, yay!
Yeah, there you go. should I, if I'm a Cowboy fan, should I be excited about that win last night or no?
Yes, because a win is a win, Marcus. A win is a win. We've seen the Cowboys at peak performance this season. Listen, you know what they're capable of.
Just... wins are hard to get in the NFL, so I'm never going to feel bad about winning a game, right? All right, Kate, we're going to talk about some Week 13 thoughts here in just a second, but we should touch on this Cowboy-Saints game. Do you want to spend the next 25 minutes talking about Taysom Hill or no?
That would be no. Taysom Hill's not a good quarterback, and the fact that the debut game for Taysom Hill went so poorly after that weird contract extension.
He did have 100 rushing yards in this game, though. Kate,
didn't matter. Didn't matter.
Hold on. Can I make the case for him just for a second? There was no Alvin Kamara. Both your offensive tackles are out. Your starting tight end is out, and your starting wide receiver is out. I think if you put most quarterbacks in that situation, they're probably going to struggle, right?
Yeah, but.
I know. Like it was very ugly. I thought he gave him a chance, though, with his rushing ability. What I'm saying is I don't think we should completely write him off for being a starting quarterback in the NFL. I don't think he's ever going to be a top 20 quarterback. But it wouldn't shock me if he does improve once they get some of these guys back in the next 10 days.
I don't think it's quite as much like an indictment on – him as it is what were the Saints doing with this contract. It just
that part
blows
I don't
my mind. That is the part that I don't understand, but you know what, it doesn't matter because that rushing ability for fantasy is chef's kiss.
It's the Konami code, right? It's the secret to winning leagues. All right, we spent way too much time on Taysom Hill already. Let's talk about Ezekiel Elliott, Kate, who has really, really fallen off since the first month of the season. Kate, since week six, the last seven games, he has 313 rushing yards, averaging 3.5 yards per carry. He has 38 targets in the passing game, which is phenomenal, but only 175 yards. It's pretty clear that he's hurt. Like, there was a play last night where he got to the outside because the play was blocked perfectly, you know, well, and he struggled to even get 5 yards. Like he was really gimpy in that game.
And he was coming off of plays like noticeably limping, and then he'd be okay, but then he'd take another hit. It was like absolutely painful to watch.
If you are a Ezekiel Elliott dynasty owner, what do you want to see happen over the next couple of weeks? Would you rather have him just keep playing through his injury?
No.
And try to get a couple, you know, garbage time touchdowns, or would you rather see the team just put him on IR for 3 weeks and have him healthy for, you know, your championship game?
Put him on IR. I think you need him to go on IR. If you're looking to move on from Ezekiel Elliott, I think that would be the best case scenario for you. Or even if you're not, like you want him to get healthy. He's very clearly not healthy. I see that McDonald's cup that you're drinking out of, Marcus. I see that.
Right. Listen, we are sponsored by McDonald's. We just got to see how good their coffee is.
And guys, you would have seen that too. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to check us out on YouTube. It's just like you need him to get healthy. And especially if you do want to move on from Ezekiel Elliott, which I think most people do at this point, You need, I think, the narrative to be pushed that he is this injured. He is injured enough to go on IR. Once that narrative starts popping, you can use that to sell the idea that Ezekiel Elliott's not losing touch. He is, he's injured, you know? Yeah, serve it up on a table, a platter like that to your league mates.
I do think, I kind of think next year is going to have to be the last year of Zeke in Dallas. It's just, it's pretty clear that he's not the same guy. Tony Pollard only has 1 year left on his deal after this year. And the Cowboys will have to make a choice. Like, do we keep paying Ezekiel Elliott $15 million or do we devote some of that money back to Tony Pollard? We're getting close to the end for Zeke. It's pretty clear we're there. We should talk about Michael Gallup in this game. Not a huge game from the stats, right? He had 5 catches for 36 yards and a touchdown. Did have 9 targets. Now, a couple of
but impressive catches. With what he did with those touch. Oh my lord, he looked great.
So, what are we doing with Michael Gallup going forward? So, obviously, this year he's kind of the third guy in line to target, especially once Amari Cooper comes back. He is a free agent next year. Is this somebody that you're buying and kind of hoping that he lands in a good spot? What are your thoughts here?
I'm absolutely, absolutely buying Michael Gallup. I think this is like, it's very hard to do after a primetime performance like that, where he looked as good as he did. But he is on the final year of his deal. And I do think the fact that we've seen him be fantasy relevant. Like, the issue is not Michael Gallup here. The issue is there's just not enough targets here to go around. That is the biggest problem here. If Michael Gallup is in a position to earn targets, like, what is the question mark here? And I do think he has been such a quality wide receiver. He is going to get some sort of deal, whether or not it's the deal of the offseason, I doubt it, but he's been a excellent fantasy performer when getting
targets. I saw some people on Twitter last night were saying, like, he'd be perfect with the Eagles opposite of Devontae Smith. Give him 3 years for $40 million. I don't love that from a fantasy perspective, but I can certainly see a team like that doing it. You know, somebody that just needs another competent outside receiver. That makes a lot of sense to me.
What about Miami? I kind of like Miami, right?
I think it makes a lot of sense with Waddle.
You have,
right?
Will Fuller on a 1 year deal.
Yep.
I would love to see Michael Gallup, and especially knowing that Tua is playing really well, get some more weapons around him and see what he can do. I'm all in on Michael Gallup right now. Now, what are you willing to pay for him is the question.
Probably no more than a 2022 second round pick. That's probably it, right? Because we see wide receivers come into the league all the time and instantly have fantasy value. It's not like Gallup is probably ever going to be a wide receiver one anywhere. So I think you're hoping for a wide receiver two. Kate, I've got a landing spot that I think would make a lot of sense for Gallup next year.
Okay, let's hear it.
What about the Dallas Cowboys?
So
here's my thought. The Cowboys are going to have a decision to make this offseason. Amari Cooper has a out in his contract where the Cowboys can get out of his deal, save $16 million, and basically owe him no more money. They could come down to this decision. Do we keep Amari Cooper or Michael Gallup?
Michael Gallup would be the fiscally responsible decision.
I think Dallas is leaning towards doing that, to be honest. And I don't agree with it. I think Amari is the better player. I think they're a little annoyed with some of the unreliability part of Amari, you know, being banged up with lower body injuries, that the vaccine stuff. I just wonder if Dallas isn't going to say, let's take the younger receiver, somebody who's been pretty healthy for most of his career, and we'll just roll with Gallup and CeeDee Lamb.
Now, how about this split? So looking at games where Michael Gallup has had more than 6 targets, which isn't a particularly high threshold, though it is for Michael Gallup, in games where he's seen 6 or more targets, averages 16 PPR points per game. That's chef's kiss. That's all you could want out of a wide receiver too.
Yeah, He's a good player. That's why I think for his value sake, I would rather just see him in Dallas with a quarterback that he knows in a system that he knows. I think that's how he's going to maintain his value, because we've seen this with other receivers, right? You go to a different situation and all of a sudden you just can't put up the same numbers. Kenny Golladay in New York, Corey Davis with the Jets. I get Will Fuller now with Miami. I know he's been banged up, but sometimes just staying in the place that you know is the best thing for your long-term value. It'll be fascinating to see if that's what happens with Gallup here. All right, Kate, we're going to get to previewing week 13. But before we do that, we should tell you guys about BetOnline. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the new updated website or mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Kate, who are some guys that you're looking forward to watching, seeing play this week?
All right, I have to go back to my guy, DK Metcalf. What is going on, DK Metcalf? We just had a fresh batch of ADP thrown at us from Dynasty League Football for this month. DK Metcalf is the wide receiver 4.
That seems high, doesn't it?
That seems very high. So what are they going to do to fix this offense? Obviously, they're done. Seattle is cooked. But you're not getting DK Metcalf, like your biggest playmaker targets. I'm just wondering what – like this is a huge tipping point, I think, in terms of DK Metcalf's value. If he's going to be valued as a top five wide receiver, we're going to need, I think, more of that production, right?
Yeah, and you know what's fascinating, Kate, is even in the games where Russell Wilson didn't play, you know, against the Steelers, Saints, and Jacksonville, I mean, he still averaged 65 yards a game and a touchdown. He actually played better without Russell Wilson this year than with Russell, which is just kind of absolutely incredible. Is he somebody you might be trying to buy low on because people are worried about the uncertainty with Russ next year, with how kind of up and down he's been this year?
No, actually, I agree. No, not with the way that, like, DK Metcalf, one of my favorite receivers in the NFL. He's young. He is a pristine athlete, 23 years old, like very hard to move on from that. But how about this striking stat? DK Metcalf in his 3 seasons in the NFL, or I guess 2.5, we're not quite at 3 yet. He has been a wide receiver 3 or worse in 63% of his games. 63%.
That is a little surprising. It's also surprising, Kate, in his last 16 games, he has 1 game over 100 receiving yards. One.
If I'm the manager of DK Metcalf right now, I'm looking to move on, especially with this fresh ADP here, knowing I can get wide receiver 4 value. Move on. I do think that there are other assets very similarly valued, like Tyreek Hill, a couple slots behind him as the wide receiver 6. Devontae Adams, wide receiver 7, Stephon Diggs, wide receiver 9.
Yeah.
Give me all of these guys who I think at least we've seen more consistent production from.
I mean, listen, it sounds crazy, but I would just take Cooper Kupp straight up over Metcalf now. I know Metcalf is like 5 years younger, but I think we perceive Metcalf as this big upside guy that's going to have these weeks where he's 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's just not really the case. Like, we just don't see those boom weeks very often. Meanwhile, like somebody like Cooper Kupp, do you know how many games this season Cooper Kupp has under 90 receiving yards? One.
Not many. Tiered wide receivers, like let me compare to a Tyreek Hill, 46% of his games as a wide receiver 3 or worse. Like you're actually looking at a guy who has been hurting your lineups more often than not, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I agree. So that's a good call there. I'm going to go to another guy that I'm really excited to watch, and that's your favorite running back, Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon
he's been crushing it, guys. He's been
absolutely
fantastic.
Crushing it. And now he's got the dream matchup, right? They play the Chargers this week at home. The Chargers are going from West Coast to East Coast, playing that early game. Chargers have given up the most rushing yards, the most rushing touchdowns of any team this year. This is a game in which Joe Mixon should have 130 yards and a couple touchdowns. If he can do that, again, I think he should. I think we could really start to trust him going forward. It's really never been an issue for me about talent. We know he's talented. It's been about, can he stay healthy? And can will the Bengals give him a full workload? And I think we're almost there. This is a big game for him, and I'm really excited to watch it. You hate Joe Mixon. You hate Joe Mixon. That's all that it is.
I was muted because I was coughing, and then I couldn't find the unmute button.
Folks, that's right. No, I took the silence as hate. That's all.
No, guys, I think you have to acknowledge that Joe Mixon is performing exactly as he should be for the number of touches he's getting.
Oh, jeez.
Elite so for incredible. Fantasy.
All right. Can I give you another guy that I'm really curious to watch?
I'm kidding. He's actually looked very good. Yes, it was frustrating to watch as a Steelers fan, but, taking my losses here.
Another guy, just really quickly. Jalen Waddle. Waddle last week, 9 catches for 137 yards and a touchdown. Actually, he's been really good since Tua's come back. Since week 6, Kate, he's averaging 75 receiving yards per game. He's got 3 touchdowns in that span. My question for you is this sustainable for Waddle? And is he only getting production right now because Miami has literally nobody else to throw to? Because if this kind of stays and he continues to get double-digit targets every week, he's making a big play, we can start talking about him as maybe a top 15 receiver in Dynasty. But do you see this form of production as sustainable over the next couple of years?
I mean, I think so. We knew what Jalen Waddle was coming out of college. He was an excellent prospect, ahead of Devonta Smith, emerging for the Heisman candidate and, before the whole Waddle foot injury, he looked like a potential Heisman candidate. Like, this is not a one-off, round of production, but I think Jalen Waddle is proving what he needs, like targets. He's earning targets. It's not just that he's getting targets because there's nobody else to target. I think he's actually earning those targets. He is currently the wide receiver 10 in PPR leagues this year. Like, the fact that he's just sitting as a top 10 wide receiver and nobody's talking about it. Meanwhile, you have DK Metcalf down there at wide receiver 20, lo and behold. If I can get a deal done, let's say I'm the DK Metcalf manager. If I can maybe squeak a deal where I'm getting back Jalen Waddle and plus some, I'm doing it all day.
Yeah, let's take a couple looks at some recent Jalen Waddle trades, because I am fascinated by this. Currently wide receiver 19 on Dynasty League Football. You said you would consider a move for Metcalf, for Waddle, and something else. All right, here we go. Jalen Waddle for Deebo Samuel, straight up.
Ooh. That, I feel like, is a pretty lateral move. But I think you should be able to get more for Deebo Samuel.
Oh, I think I agree. Now, this one is fascinating. I think this is a bit of an overreaction, but Jalen Waddle for AJ Brown, straight up.
Ooh.
Brown is clearly, I think, the more talented receiver. However, can't really stay healthy. I think he plays a brand of football that's going to make him have a lot of injuries. And then on top of that, is he ever really going to get the volume to be like a wide receiver one in Tennessee? I don't know.
I'm kind of liking the Jalen Waddle side there, though. Again, just based in terms of evaluation, not current performance, obviously. I think you probably could get Jalen Waddle plus – maybe a low end, you know, wide receiver two or wide receiver three. I think you could do a little bit of negotiation to balance the scales here. Jalen Waddle, on pace for more than 100 receptions, more than 1,000 receiving yards, including three top 12 performances in PPR leagues this year. He has been absolutely fantastic. And the only reason we're not really talking about it is, I think, Ja'Marr Chase, right?
Yeah, I think so as well. Let's do rapid fire because there's a whole bunch of these. Just really quickly. Jalen Waddle for David Montgomery.
Jalen Waddle.
Jalen Waddle for Josh Jacobs in a 2022 second round pick.
Jalen Waddle.
Jalen Waddle for Juju in a 2022 first round pick.
I'll take Juju in the pick.
Waddle for Ezekiel Elliott.
Waddle.
Waddle or Calvin Ridley.
Oh, this one hurts my soul. Just with the uncertainties, I will take Waddle.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, let's take one more quick break so we can tell you guys about Built Bar. It's the absolute best tasting protein bar out there. It's hard to even explain it. Real chocolate, amazing flavors. It's just a great combination of low calories, high protein, and low sugar with no crazy additives. Best of all, they taste fantastic. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next box at BuiltBar.com. All right, Kate. Before we head out, we're going to do some what the heck flex stuff. We're going to, any other guys you want to talk about before we get to that?
No, I think that sort of covers it. We do have some interesting games on the slate this week, but those are my biggest dynasty question marks heading into this week. And I think we'll probably be able to find some answers, my hope.
All right. Promotion time. This is where we give you the worst group of names of players ever that you could potentially pull up from your waiver wire or your benches into your starting lineup. And I jokingly asked you about this guy last night, but
Laquan Jamal Agnew. Yes.
Eight targets last week, 4 for 53 against the Falcons. I don't know who else the Jags are going to be throwing the ball to. They're playing the Rams. That seems like a game they're going to be down by a lot early. I don't know.
Not going to be a pretty performance, but I'm actually kind of digging it. Yours was just so far beyond what I had come up with for this segment here.
I told you, I always give you the worst names.
You do, and they do tend to work out, so I always love that. A name that I want you to promote, I think, is like a must promote this week. I'm talking about Boston Scott. Mm. The matchup is just ooey gooey delicious. And you have Jordan Howard, who I'm not projecting to play this week. Boston Scott's like biggest issue has been the lack of volume. He's been pretty efficient with his touches overall. He scores touchdowns. I do think he could be in a really nice spot for like a high-end RB2 performance this week.
I like that one. And I am actually having a decision to make in a flex league or in a flex spot, Boston Scott or the guy I'm going to mention now, Foster Moreau, who I think is going to get the start at tight end for the Raiders with Darren Waller being out. I think Moreau is a borderline tight end one this week. We saw him earlier in the season when he got the start for Waller, 6 for 60 in a touchdown. Derek Carr loves to throw to him. He's super athletic. Just to help me out, which one would you rather start this week?
I'm actually rolling with Foster Moreau.
Yeah, that's what I have right now. I'm glad.
I do. I like me some Foster Moreau. We've heard nothing but great things. Like the fact that he has not seen a significant target volume is really just a factor, I think, of Darren Waller and not an indictment on his play whatsoever. This team loves him. Give me some Foster Moreau, please.
I don't think I can give you a worse name than Laquan Treadwell. So that's probably how we're going to have to end the show, right? Because I don't see anybody else. I mean, if you really, really need a guy like running back like Jarrett Patterson this week with maybe J.D. McKissic not playing for Washington, but seems like this is.
I do have one question, Marcus, for you, the Raiders expert. Is Hunter Renfrow like a must play flex
yes.
every week because yes. Yes, right. Like because, no questions asked.
No questions, because especially with Waller out, they really have nobody else to throw to in the middle of the field. So DeSean Jackson's dealing with a calf injury. Derek Carr just trusts them. And the ceiling is just not going to be super high. Like, you know, going in, you're not going to get a 20-point game. But, like, I think 8 for 53 is a very realistic line that you can get for him this week. And if you get 13 points from Hunter Renfrow in a flex spot, you'll take it. And I think that's pretty safe for him.
All right. I mean, this could, like, Hunter Renfrow is maybe a guy that you just haven't felt comfortable promoting yet. Maybe we got to sneak him in to our lineups on a weekly basis here.
Yeah, go Hunter Renfrow. Wouldn't be surprised if he has a big game in this one, though. I mean, we saw it against Dallas last week, 134 yards. Washington slot corner is not super great in this matchup. So Renfrow, a nice little flex option. That is it for today's show. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, you can download the show wherever you get your podcast. Please continue to check us out on YouTube. You can follow the show at Locked On Dynasty. You can follow Kate at FF Ball Blast, and I'm at Marcus_Mosier. Enjoy week 13, and we will see you guys next time.
Bye.